course, that is the amazing John Tank, live from the Registry Theater. And I am going to fade this down a bit. I should just say, though, thank you very much to my special guest, Lawrence McNaught, from the Registry Theater. And just before I leave the Registry Theater, that was the John Tank Group, and that featured, that was a song called Joe Tanson, and that featured John Tank on tenor saxophone, Bernie Saninsky on piano, Jim Vivian bass, and Ted Angus Warren on the drums. So if you're just tuning in, this is Coral, Coral FM, Sound FM, www.soundfm.ca, channel 946 on digital cable, 100.3 on your analog dial, and the Richmonds are back. Hi, boys.
Hi.
Good to
be
back again.
You're back again. That's a taste of Canadian community radio with Kathleen and Lawrence are both really well known in the community, in the art scene for sure. So it's so nice to have you guys here.
Yeah, well, it's a shame that we're going back early tomorrow because we would probably have liked to have attended some of their concerts. It sounded really great.
Well, you know, you can always fly back.
Yeah, why not?
I wanted to ask, well, Lawrence asked Dave this before he left. So, and now I'm going to ask, when you were recording, because you've recorded with, just for people who, just for interest's sake, who have you recorded with in your career?
Oh, gosh.
Besides Dusty
it's
Springfield
so many people,
and
actually.
John Barry and, well, there's Cliff Richard.
Yeah.
But there's a biggie, there's another biggie, a music score guy.
Oh, yeah, Henry Mancini.
Yeah, him. Yeah, that guy.
Yes. I did. The Reader's Digest was, it's a massive worldwide company, which I know has since been taken over by another company, but they used to make a lot of albums, recordings, in addition to doing their publishing.
Mm-hmm.
And Henry Mancini came over for a week, and we recorded four albums with him, four Reader's Digest. And it was a wonderful experience.
What kind of stuff did you do?
Well, it was. It wasn't all his own music, but it was all in his own, obviously his own arrangements, mm. which are very distinctive, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the, I think there's at least two albums where he was leading from the piano, so he was featuring his piano playing, and as well as conducting the orchestra. So that was a great experience. And also I did do a Pink Panther film.
Which one?
It was, oh, gosh.
I think Return of the Pink Panther.
Yes, so,
oh, the one where he's in the castle. Oh, that's my favorite.
Yeah.
That is such a great scene. I play the Pink Panther on here all the time. One of my favorite CDs is called The Pink Panther's Party Penthouse. And so it has the Pink Panther theme on it. And then it has variations of the Pink Panther theme on it, which is really interesting. So I play that on the show all the time. It's my ultimate party CD. So now when I think of you, I'll be thinking of the Pink Panther. Lawrence asked you this question. What's the craziest recording session you've ever had?
Well, I can't actually remember that particular kind of circumstance, but there is a funny incident that occurred on on it. It was a jingle, actually, or, you know, like a commercial. They last about 30 seconds. And I was booked to play on one of these at Air Studios, and there it was a massive company that did these and used to go in. And at that time, well, I'm talking about the 80s, maybe mid-70s, something mm-hmm. like that, the going rate was about £25 to do a one-hour jingle. You took an hour to record a 30-second jingle or something like that.
Mm.
And very often you'd be sitting around in the studio waiting for the clients to come, or there's being big decisions being made in the box, you know. And on this particular occasion, the clients came out, and they sort of, as they're walking past, one of them went, "That's it. That's what we want." And they were pointing at an alto sax case, you see, an instrument case that the alto sax had come out. And Ronnie Asprey was one of our greatest players in England. He was on this session. And so they said, they came over to us and they said, "Now, who does this case belong to?" So Ronnie said, oh, it's mine. So they said, "Well, would you be prepared to hire it to us?" So Ronnie said, "Well, I'd just better go and speak to the production company." So he went and spoke to them, and they said, don't charge less than £200 for hiring it. So he went back and told them, and they said, "Oh, yeah, that's great, that's great. It'll look fantastic in the shot that we want to do in our next jingle, you see." And so that's what it was. So the case, in fact, made...
£200.
£200 against his 25, you know. So we had a good laugh about that.
Well, that's pretty funny. What are the Banjo Busters?
Well, you might have seen this on my website. And
I have,
There is a health warning, isn't there? Public health warning on it.
Yeah, for listening to the banjo more than once.
No, it's like listening to more than one banjo at
the same time.
Can be potentially fatal, actually. But this particular band, it was me and... Max Britton, who's a great player in England, a guitarist, actually. We were offered a job on, and I did own a banjo. It's actually a cello banjo strung up like a bass and rather out of tune, consequently. And but we were asked to play on a gig, and they wanted something unusual, so they decided that's what they do. So we did this gig, and afterwards we thought, oh, we'll form a little band, and we called it the Banjo Busters. and it's been on the website now for about 3 years, and we haven't done a single gig with it.
Oh.
So it's a bit of a laugh, really. It's not a serious...
Before I switch over to Chris for a minute here, you've also done some television shows.
Yeah, loads of television.
But two shows come to mind in particular.
Only Fools and
Only
Horses.
Only Fools and Horses, right.
It's David Jason.
David Jason, that's
David
right.
David Jason,
and he's
yeah.
one of our greatest comedians. And I did the whole series. And
He did Touch of Frost, right?
He did, yes.
Yeah, that's right, yes. Yeah. And I played in one of the... I did actually performed in one of the episodes, and it's called The Jolly Boys Outing, if you ever see it.
Was that fun?
And they take a coach into Margate, and there's actually a cabaret club there, and he meets Raquel, who becomes his wife during the series.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, there was a trio playing there with bass guitar, drums and piano and a girl singer, and that is us. But in 1979 or something like that, you know.
And you're also another TV show called The Last Days of Summer.
The Last of the Summer Wine.
Last of the Summer
Wine.
It's been a long day.
It's catching, isn't
it?
Yeah,
it's catching. We've been going all day. Last of the Summer Wine, that's right.
Yeah,
and you're
did
in
that.
This.
I was a newcomer because although the series went on for about 35 years and I only did 26 years of that. But I did it right up until 2006 when it finished.
And I'm so impressed because you're working with Peter Salas, who is the voice of Wallace from Wallace and Gromit.
Yes, indeed.
Which is very cool.
Yeah.
And we love Shinden.
He's got a great voice.
For Flix, we are huge fans of Wallace and Gromit, so that is very cool. I want to switch over to Chris here for a minute. The name of your company is Atticus Finch.
Yeah.
How did this come to be? Because he's a key, like he is part of To Kill a Mockingbird, which
that's
great.
What it was is, yeah, basically I was really like the character in To Kill a Mockingbird. So when we formed the company, we decided that it was a great name to have, really. So
how did you become a creative director? How did you get into video production? It's kind of interesting because David's in sound and you're in vision. So
It's
sound and vision. I have sitting here.
A long sort of road from not really knowing what I wanted to do, and then I started helping a friend out who used to make his own sort of low budget videos, and I kind of got the bug for it. Did some film extraing on some quite big feature films that were getting shot over in London, and you know, really decided that was definitely what I wanted to do. And then gradually worked, you know, got a runner's job, and just gradually worked for production companies. And then set up my own thing as a freelance sort of camera stroke editor. Dad was working on a particular sort of job way back in the 90s, I think it was, where he actually put me in touch with some people who are still actually one of my clients today. So that was always a good contact from him. Then so it's about sort of the mid, I think in 2005 we set up Atticus Finch and with my business partner Mike, and since then we've just been working on various different projects.
You just did your first film short. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, that's something still actually in production right now, so that's quite exciting. So we've set up our daughter company, which is Scout Films.
Scout. Yeah, that makes sense.
Another reference.
That's great.
and that's called Drone Strike, it's a 20-minute short. We shot it in. The synopsis very quickly. It's a day in the life of a pilot called Will, who's in the RAF, and he flies drones. So he has that sort of strange scenario where he can go to work, sort of drop the kids off at school, goes to work, then starts flying a drone that's 4,000 miles away in Afghanistan, and then doing what he does, and then and then coming back home again to a family situation. So we basically read an article in a magazine which kind of got us thinking about that's quite an unusual way of the way warfare is sort of moving forward, that you can have this scenario where you can essentially have these people that are kind of going into a combat situation, but not actually even leaving. They're not actually, you know, going out of their own comfort zone at all, kind of thing. So it's pretty weird. So we wrote a script based around that, and we shot it in Morocco, in Ouarzazate, for the Afghanistan scenes, and we shot in the UK for the UK scenes. So it's all shot and it's been edited, but we've still got a bit of a way to go with finishing it off to get the soundtrack and sort of visual effects and that kind of thing. So there's a blog for that if anyone's interested in going to see it, which is drone-strike.com, and we're on Facebook as Drone Strike Film, and on Twitter as @drone_strike.
But if you go to Atticus TV, your website's under construction right now.
Yeah.
And it's very cool. It's just a pile. It's like work, clients, this, that. It's you have a very unique visual perspective, which I really like. You can also go to YouTube and see all the work you've done.
Most of it, yeah. Most sort of featured bits are up there. Yeah.
Have you done other, like, you know, music videos, rock videos with any people of note that people might know in North America? They're mostly British.
We did some work on some Moby videos.
Yeah, Moby's awesome.
And that was sort of reworking for some Spanish and French versions of some one of his tracks. We also did some stuff for Depeche Mode, some live stuff. Some various sort of smaller bands. We haven't been doing too much music recently, but we kind of, Snow Patrol is the most recent music kind of based visual stuff that we've done.
Snow Patrol is awesome. Your stuff is great. I want to switch back here to Dave for a second. One of the most, and Chris will know this too, one of the most, and I remember this when I was a kid, when this song came out, I think it was number one Top of the Pops for a long time, and that was Je T'aime.
Yes. And that was recorded in England at Philips Studios, and we didn't know anything about, as we didn't for any session, we never really knew what was going on or who was going to be there. And so all we started playing the track, and we had our earphones on, and in fact we heard they were performing it in another part of the studio. So we were hearing these amazing sounds.
Mm-hmm.
I think if anyone's familiar with it, because it was actually banned in England.
Yeah, I remember.
For quite a time, which of course boosted the sales like mad. You know?
Yeah.
and now, of course, I'm very fortunate in records that have been identified to have been on. I do get a payment every time it's used on television or in a film or or at radio or anything like that. And of course, it often appears in a film, and or any sort of love scene, or even documentary programs. You might have. You suddenly hear it. I go, "Ching! Thank you very much."
Well, I have the one. It's Jane Birkin, a Serge Gainsbourg. Is that the one we're looking at here?
Absolutely.
And actually, Charlotte Gainsbourg, I believe, is his daughter. And she's quite a famous actor in her own right.
Yes.
She's done some amazing work. This, when I heard this song, I couldn't believe it. I went, and it was, like, I'm pretty sure it was number one. I'm pretty sure it went up to number one once it was, and you used to hear it. You didn't hear it on the radio at first, but you did hear it over here, because I think I was over here when I listened to it, and it was on commercial radio, and it's quite a long song for commercial radio, and I'm surprised that it was played, you know, that song being such, like 4 minutes long, being on a commercial radio station was unheard of. But here's Je T'aime, David, you naughty boy, on Coral FM.
Je vais et je
See, that was Je T'aime in its entirety. And we're David and I just talking. Most of the time they would fade this out in commercial radio because, you know, it was so, you know, kind of suggestive, I would say. Just to just for a wrap up, Dave, what's next for you? What are you doing when you get back to England?
Well, I'm so exhausted after that last record. But, I'm actually just going back. I've got a recording session for some background music for a musical someone's written. They want to demo the musical. So.
What's the musical about, can you say? Or you're not
I've no
to,
idea.
Not
this
allowed
is the
to?
Point. I just, you know, they just booked me for it. And then I'll be back teaching at Stowe School on Tuesday, and then I can't remember what else I'm doing, but just a few local gigs and that sort of thing.
What do you teach?
I teach the bass guitar, mm-hmm. and I coach the jazz combo.
Oh, that's
I direct
great.
That
I didn't ask you, how many instruments do you actually play?
Well, professionally, it's just got to be double bass and bass guitar, but I do play piano. I mm-hmm. play in the jazz combo, I play piano, but I'm not a great pianist or anything. And guitar, started off on guitar and ukulele and that sort of thing.
Ukulele,
but
yeah.
You know, when we talk about professional standard, it's you'd have to say double bass and bass guitar.
Aren't you having an instrument made for you right now?
Yes, it is a really good bass banjo, actually, with a proper bass neck on it. In fact, it's a gold tone neck. They make very good banjos, an American company. I'm sure lots of people would know that. And they're the only company that do mm-hmm. bass banjo neck, so I'm putting it on my I'm having it done properly onto the cello banjo head.
That's very
so
cool.
So the banjo busters might well emerge.
Come to be. So do you have a website if people want to know more about your
if
music?
If anyone was interested, it's dave@daverichmond.co.uk.
Okay. Chris, what do you have coming up? What's going on with Atticus Finch?
The main priority is the short film, getting that finished.
Right.
We've still got a little way to go. We've currently got an Indiegogo campaign running just to sort of raise the last bit of finance to get all those very crucial special effects and music mix, etc. done. So if anyone's interested in supporting the project, if you could go to the drone-strike.com website, or if you go to Indiegogo.com and look up Drone Strike, you'll see the project and be very appreciative for anyone who did.
Okay. I wanted to ask you too, how did you get into 3D animation? From working in a video store, I see 3D coming more and more into the mainstream. Like, people are getting 3D Blu-rays, all the latest craze. Why 3D animation, and how difficult is this to do?
3D animation is actually harder to do the sort of 3D live action. So with 3D animation, if you're doing if you're creating an animation or using CG, then essentially to create the second camera, the left right eye, it's just essentially rendering out two images, you know, two streams of the same thing. So it's not too bad. I think it's just been very popular in cinema right now, just to sort of try and add extra value to cinema going audiences, and there has been a definite surge. And when Avatar came out in the UK, one of our clients, which was Quavasio, basically wanted to. It's very unusual for people to sort of try and create an advertising spot in cinema that was to be produced in 3D to run in front of the film. So we produced a 30-second spot which went out in front of Avatar in all the theatres in the UK. So that was quite good fun, but it was a bit of a learning curve.
That was a Corvoisi ad, right?
Yeah.
Have you ever been nominated for an award? You know, they have the Clio Awards and all the advertising.
We've been for some work we did with the NHS. We did win a couple of awards for two separate campaigns, an award, you know, award system that's sort of around in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
Which I've actually forgotten what it's called, but
join the club.
I could see you're easily being nominated for awards because it is outstanding, from the stuff that you're doing with Snow Patrol to the, you know, the work you're doing with NHS to the Courvoisier. There's many, like, if you go to YouTube and you look up and you punch in Atticus Finch TV, they all come up. Like, a lot of your work comes up, which is amazing. So I'm sitting with two incredibly talented people here. And it was lovely to have you here in the studio. I'm so glad I know it was under sad circumstances, but I'm sure if Brian was here right now, he'd be thrilled.
Yes.
Yeah. And thanks to everyone who has been very hospitable to us over the last few days. It's been a lovely trip over here.
Because you're headed back tomorrow. Yes, but
I second that. And also thanks for having us on here, Carl. It's been great fun.
Yeah, thanks very much.
It was lots of fun. And tonight we're heading to the Boathouse to see there's a jug band playing there. I don't know exactly, I don't know all the information yet, but that's a good way to top this whole trip off. So, and before I go, I love Dave Matthews. So for you, Stina, this is Mercy and Dave Matthews, the Dave Matthews Band on Coral FM.
Don't give up, I know you can see all the world and the mess that we're making. Can't give up and hope God will intercede. Come on back, imagine that we could get it together and stand up for where we need to be. 'Cause crying won't save or feed a hungry child. Can't lay down and wait for a miracle to change things. So lift up your eyes, lift up your heart, singing mercy, will we overcome this? One by one, could we turn it around? Maybe carry on just a little bit longer, and I'll try to give you what you need. Me and you and you and you, I just wanna be free, yeah, yeah. But you see, all the world is just as we've made it. And until we got a new world, I got to say that love is not a whisper or a weakness. No, love is strong. And we got to get together, yeah. Gotta get. So there is no reason to fight. Mercy, will we overcome this? Yeah, one by one, could we turn it around? Baby, carry on just a little bit longer, and I'll try to give you what you need.
That was for you, Stina. And I have Dave and Chris in the background now, contributing to the artistic collaboration in the corner here at Sound FM. So I'd like to thank everybody, all my special guests today, Kathleen Sheehy, Lawrence McNaught, and my very special guests, Dave Richmond and Chris Richmond, who are still here in the studio with me. Chris, I'm going to try and find some talking heads here just to close things off. And then I'm going to... which talking heads would you like to hear, Chris? What would you like to hear?
Something early.
Something early?
Yeah.
Psycho Killer?
Yeah, go for Psycho Killer.
Okay.
I've got that on the
Psycho Killer? Okay, we're going to play Psycho Killer. That one?
Yeah.
That one there by The Flying Doctor, 1988. Okay, this is Coral FM signing off. By the way, Dave's website is daverichmond.co.uk.
I'm tense and nervous and I can't relax. I can't sleep 'cause my bed's on fire.